Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to another special bonus episode of I'm Batman, the podcast. This is a show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. So to keep you up to date, we did episode 85 about 2 weeks ago. That was the last episode of the regular Batman the Animated Series. Now we are heading into the redesign era. This is season 5. I decided to start that out next year. It's around Christmas time now, so I'm going to be doing some bonus episodes until we get to that day. This week, I'm bringing you a very fun movie that is from the redesign era, and this is the Batman Superman movie. That's what it's called. At least on the DVD cover it is, the Batman Superman movie. Original release date, October 4th, 1997. The Batman Superman movie is actually 3 episodes of Superman the Animated Series titled World's Finest. So it's World's Finest Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3. These I believe were the season finale to season 2. It might be season 3, but I'm pretty certain it's season 2 of Superman the Animated Series. Superman the Animated Series started off in the WB network as Batman the Animated Series was airing on the Fox network. At the end of the run of the original Batman the Animated Series, Batman moved to the WB. So this was when the redesign happened. I mentioned the redesign a lot. I've explained it in detail in past episodes. You could go back a week or two and I talk about that a lot. So yeah, there's 3 episodes of the Superman Animated Series. The movie was released on VHS and DVD under the title Batman Superman Movie, with one of the most horrible movie covers you've seen. Seriously, this thing looks awful. It looks like they took the image of a coloring book, and those really bad coloring books, and then just like painted it with Photoshop. It looks really bad. Assuming that this is the cover picture, for those of you listening on whatever listening device you're on, whatever you're getting your podcast from, it'll probably be the cover page. Is Joker, Superman, Lex Luthor, and Batman. They look all weird and deformed. It's a really ugly cover. Now, the new Batman Adventures is what Batman the Animated Series came to be called once it moved to the WB. It had only premiered 1 month prior to these 3 Superman episodes. So this movie serves the purpose of introducing those viewers of Superman the Animated Series who might for some reason not heard of Batman or know about Batman's move to WB Kids. This was a way to introduce them to the character of Batman, at least to the new look, if they hadn't known that the other series was running. This movie review will serve as an introduction to the new Batman style, which we will have to get used to. There's a lot of redesigns, and some are good, some are not. So this is actually our first review with the redesigned characters. And also, since I mentioned earlier, it is Christmas time, I'm in the Christmas spirit, and I'm going to add my review of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special called We Wish You a Turtles Christmas. It is actually an excerpt from a Gotham Goes Hollywood episode I did back in June. I believe it was episode 11. But since it is Christmas time, I will throw it in here as well, at no extra charge to any of you. So it's just on there at the end. It's not that long. I think you'll enjoy it. Alright, without any further ado, let's dance the dance they dance in France. Let's get to it.
Thank you.
off on a rainy night. Okay, so right off the bat, pun dutifully intended, and we can see that title screens are gone, so no longer do we get those beautifully painted title cards from the previous incarnation of the series. Well, at least some of them. The last ones were kind of ugh. But yeah, we got rid of those, and instead we just go straight to the action with just plain white text over the scene. So it's a rainy night in Gotham, I'm assuming, and we see a man closing up an antique store. This black-haired woman in a red beret walks in and tells the man that she has something to sell him. She takes out a jack-in-the-box and cranks the handle, and the Joker's theme song plays from it. Out pops a clown head and sprays the man with some gas. The man starts laughing uncontrollably, and we see the Joker enter the scene. He takes the wig off the woman and, oh, it's Harley Quinn. Gee, what a surprise. Okay. This series marks the point where I start to get really sick of Harley Quinn, because she's no longer just a side character, but she's a character I feel starts to get in the way. She was the creation of Paul Dini, who's the main writer for a lot of these episodes, so he feels that he just needs to put her in there because it's like his baby, and it gets really annoying. I like her enough, but I think she's really overplayed now, especially now. And she just seems to get in the way of a lot of things because, oh my god, it's Harley! Let's put Harley in there! So, yeah, I'm not too excited to see her here. Harley looks almost the same. So, her redesign is not much. She looks the same as before, but she just looks smaller and skinnier. Joker, though, oh boy, he looks like a completely new character. He's skinnier. He has this, like, very plain white face. I mean, like really no details on it. He has a huge smile, like a happy face, but no lips, and he has weird black eyes with white pupils, and his face kind of looks like a skull. The eyes remind me a lot of the Animaniacs. I don't know if you guys remember Animaniacs. They were like little weird dog people, and they had these weird like eyes that were just kind of like puppy eyes. That's kind of what Joker's eyes remind me of. Now, I don't hate this redesign the way everyone does. Everybody hates this, which I kind of just found out, which to me is weird, because to me, Joker is more than just a design. I mean, he's like the way you characterize him. It really, after a point, doesn't matter what he looks like. And I think it works because those eyes, those weird puppy eyes they gave him, can be very expressive. So I don't really mind the lips not being there. Although the creator of the series did say that he didn't mind the redesign, but he does regret not giving him the red lips. So I guess that's just something people expect from the character design. The green hair, the white face, and the red lips. And the lips are gone, so people bitched about it. So Joker throws the laughing man to the side, and he finds what he's looking for. A huge green dragon statue made from jade. Joker breaks the statue off from a base it's been bolted onto, and he puts it in a huge metal box that Harley is carrying, and it's like super heavy. So this seems to be like a one-time joke, because after this, no one ever seems to really struggle carrying around this statue. And later on, Batman mentions that it's 20 pounds. 20 pounds is not that much. Unless Harley Quinn is that weak, she shouldn't have a problem carrying this thing. Joker and Harley leave. Later on, we fade to Gordon and Bullock investigating the case. So Bullock finds it weird that Joker only stole one thing, and Gordon says that he finds it super weird because word on the street is Joker is desperate for cash. Alright, so Bullock looks okay. Like, he looks fatter somehow, but he's missing, like, all those details that made him look frumpy in the past series. Like, now he just looks like a big fat slob, whereas before he looked like a big fat slob, but I don't know, there was just more detail, more character there. Now he's kind of plain. That's the thing with this redesign. They're very plain. And they did this to save on the animation, so I understand why. He kind of looks like a mix of Fred Flintstone and Barney Gumble from The Simpsons. And Gordon is there too. And oh boy, Commissioner Gordon. He looks older. He no longer has that cowlick haircut, like that Elvis Presley haircut that he was sporting in the other series. He now has a crew cut, and he has these tiny little dots for eyes that I don't like, and he's, like, super skinny. Like, he seriously looks like he has cancer. It looks like Commissioner Gordon's going, like, battling cancer or something. Batman appears and he tells them that things are never what they seem with the Joker. Now, Batman looks mostly the same, but with a lot of detail gone. He's gray and black now, so he doesn't have that blue tint on his cape that he did before. He's just completely gray and black. And the bat emblem on his chest no longer has that yellow oval around it, so now it's just the black bat silhouette. Batman checks the base of the statue Joker took, and there's still pieces of jade on it. Batman takes one of the little pieces and puts it in a baggie and takes it. He says it's for further investigation. Bullock says that Batman can't just be walking off with evidence, and Gordon tells him to go ahead and stop him, but Bullock does nothing. We're in the Batcave, and Batman is putting the piece of jade in some liquid and shining lasers on it. Alfred mentions the statue Joker took is titled, or is named, the Laughing Dragon, and it has a cursed reputation because all its previous owners have died prematurely. Batman mentions it's because the jade is giving out a low level of radiation. He then asks Alfred if Bruce Wayne is due for a trip to Metropolis, and Alfred tells him yes. So, alright, Alfred looks okay. He looks almost the same, but he has those same little dot for eyes that Gordon had, and I'm just not a fan of that. We cut to an airplane, which happens to be Air Force One. Inside, we see a bunch of reporters, and one of them is the inappropriately dressed for work Lois Lane. Okay, you know, I swear, she has like the tiniest miniskirt ever, and it's not even like a tight skirt. It's like a flowy pleated skirt, which I'm sure at the speed Superman takes off, flying, like whenever he's next to her, she always gives people quite a peep show. And I think it's been joked about in later episodes, or at least on the Superman series, where she's standing next to Superman. Superman takes off flying. Her skirt flies up in the air, and she covers it like Marilyn Monroe style. And she even mentions, I gotta start wearing pants. Anyway, Air Force One is hijacked by some people in jumpsuits. Lois runs to grab a phone and dial for help, but gets thrown back into her seat and has her seatbelt fastened onto her tight. The terrorists say they will make an example out of her, and everyone else puts on their seatbelts too. The terrorists ask her name, and she says it's Lois Lane, and then the terrorists panic.
Let's make an example of this hero. A very tragic example, I'm afraid, Miss...
Lane.
Lane? Lois Lane? The one Superman always saves?
Afraid so.
At that point, the plane tips over and the terrorist slams against the window. He sees Superman outside and Superman literally flips the plane to
do a barrel roll.
The terrorists inside are banged around and then Superman breaks the door and goes inside to gather all of them. We cut to the plane on the ground and Superman is being thanked by the President of the United States of America. Superman walks over to talk to Lois, but she's, like, super shy and awkward around him.
How can I put this? I was just thinking it might be nice to see each other when I wasn't, I don't know, falling out a window or something. Not that I'm not grateful for all the times you've helped me, you understand?
I understand.
You do?
So Lois tries to ask out Superman, and then there's an explosion, and it's a robbery at the bank. Superman flies away and leaves Lois talking to herself.
I understand, Lois. Really, you do. Yep, you're a complete moron. Why, thank you, Superman. I think I'm a total loser, too. Jeez.
Does she know that he probably heard that? I mean, the guy has super hearing. Anyways, we cut to Lex Luthor reading the Daily Planet newspaper with the headline... Man of Steel saves the president. So the picture in the front page is of Superman shaking hands with the president. And whoever the photographer for the Daily Planet is, he needs to be fired. Because the picture is of the back of the president's head. Like, I'm assuming it's Jimmy Olsen. He seems to be the photographer. But I'm pretty sure they have more than just him. But anyways, so you have two of the world's most powerful men, and you don't get both their faces in the picture? You decide to take the picture from the angle of the back of the president's head? What's wrong with you? Anyway, we meet Lex Luthor, So for those of you not familiar with him, Lex Luthor is the bald main villain of Superman. Here, he is portrayed as a businessman who will stop at nothing to take down Superman, who he believes is a threat to humanity. Also, he is voiced by Clancy Brown, who you may know as that a-hole guard from The Shawshank Redemption. Anyways, Lex is angry, and he calls his bodyguard, which is a woman named Mercy, to start the car. And then she gets attacked by a boxing glove gun. Lex walks to his car, and Mercy is acting weird. Lex gets inside, and the driver isn't Mercy at all. Oh, gee, look, it's Harley Quinn. She picks up the Joker, who is just standing on the street in broad daylight, showing his very feminine and oddly hairless leg, I might add. So wait, so Joker, we get that gag where you see a female leg trying to get a ride like a hitchhiker. But then it's not a female leg at all, it's a male's leg. They've done that like with Bugs Bunny or whatever. So it's the Joker's leg. He slides his pant leg back down, and then it just looks like normal Joker feet. So I always thought that Joker wore those fancy dress shoes that have white on top, or like those rockabilly type shoes, or like the ones where you put a piece of fabric on top of your shoe. But no, they're just like regular slip-ons, and this whole time we've just been seeing Joker's legs with no socks. It's really weird. Anyway, Joker gets inside the car and tries to make a deal with Lex.
Rich Corinthian leather.
What do you want?
I sense we are kindred spirits, you and I. Oh, there are differences, to be sure. Like hair. But underneath it all, we are both entrepreneurs. Men of vision. We see an opportunity, we grab it. Am I right? Right. But in the past few weeks, I've had a run of bad luck. Bad luck that wears a cape. Thanks to that miserable, pointy-eared rodent Batman, all my operations in Gotham City have been shut down. But you, too, have an overgrown bully in long underwear. Which brings me to my little proposition.
I'm listening.
Pay me $1 billion, and I'll kill Superman.
What makes you think you can kill Superman when you can't even handle a mere mortal in a Halloween costume?
There's nothing mere about that mortal.
The Joker shows Lex Luthor the dragon statue, and Lex agrees to the deal, but he can't be connected to it in any way. And Joker tells him, don't worry, you won't be. He says, you'll be Mr. Clean! Just funny, because Lex Luthor already kind of looks like Mr. Clean. We go to Metropolis Airport, where Bruce Wayne has landed. And it's big news, because it seems LexCorp is trying to make a merger with Wayne Tech. So Lois and Clark, Kent, that's Superman, are there. And Lois thinks that Bruce is nothing but rich and spoiled. He's Gotham trash, he says. She sees Bruce come out of the airplane and she falls in love with him immediately. Okay, so Bruce Wayne looks way different here than he did before. Like, he no longer wears that weird brown jacket and yellow shirt. Instead, he now wears like an all-black suit with a red tie and a white shirt. His hair is slicked back, and his face doesn't look nice anymore. Like, he doesn't look like a nice guy anymore. Before, like, his character design had a certain warmth to him, but now he just looks like a rich a-hole. Like, he no longer talks in his soft, nice Bruce Wayne voice, but he always talks in, like, the serious low tone, like Batman. And also, he is a complete a-hole to everyone. Like, he just no longer cares, and he's just Batman all the time. So honestly, I'm not a fan of it. Like, he kind of looks like Charlie Sheen, come to think of it. And also, he has blue eyes now, for some reason. Bruce ignores all the reporters and walks towards Lois Lane. She drops her purse in shock and introduces Clark Kent. Clark tries to shake Bruce's hand, but Bruce just ignores him and helps Lois pick up her stuff. Bruce then invites Lois to dinner and leaves. Seriously, what the hell? Why is Bruce such a dick now? Like, I know he was a jerk before, but he was a jerk when he was Batman. When he was Bruce Wayne, he was kind of like the, whatever, leave me alone. I'm just rich. I like to have fun. But hey, I'm a nice guy. I like to do charity. But now he's just like an a-hole. Like, I don't know. I don't like it. We're at some Mexican restaurant. where some gangsters are eating. Joker shows up and tells the gangsters that he's in town for business, so now he's in charge. The gangsters try to kill Joker, but oh gee, it's Harley Quinn on a pogo stick. And she says boingy boingy like the Animaniacs. It's hilarious, that Harley Quinn. I wish we could get more of her. Joker then sprays the gangster boss with the laughing gas and he throws him in the garbage. Joker tells the other gangsters that, well, looks like they need a new boss, so he nominates himself. Does anybody want to go against that? So they don't. That's later on. And at a hospital, we see the gangster who got thrown into the garbage still laughing and drooling and raving like a lunatic. We meet Detective Turpin, who is the most useless character in history. So, okay, Superman takes care of all the crime in the city. Like, all of it. Literally. So, okay, it's not like Batman, because... So, Batman lives in Gotham, which we know is, like, riddled with crime. And he's just one man. He has no powers, Batman. He's just one man. So, he can stop whatever crime is happening near him. So, Gordon and his men have to take care of crime happening everywhere else. Superman literally stops every crime in Metropolis because he's Superman. So, this character is pointless. And they also make him pretty stupid to boot. Superman figures out that the laughing maniac in front of them is this way because of the Joker gas. But Turpin doesn't know what Superman is talking about. God, I hate this guy. We're in some desert somewhere, and we see, like, this spider robot cavorting about, and it climbs all over the terrain. So inside a nearby building, we see Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne monitoring the robot. Bruce says that this robot can revolutionize unmanned space travel, but Luthor has other ideas. He shows Bruce to a room full of the same type of spider robots, but with laser weapons installed. Luthor says that they can sell them to the military, but Bruce says no. He has final say in this deal, and he doesn't like guns. Later at night, Bruce and Lois are having dinner. Bruce keeps asking questions about Superman, and Lois seems very annoyed, so they slow dance. On a different part of town, Clark Kent is talking to Bibbo, who is like this weird Popeye-looking sailor that Clark uses as an informant sometimes. And I always get confused with this character, because his name is Bibbo, but there's a Superman villain named Beppo, who is a giant monkey with kryptonite vision. So Beppo and Bibbo always confuse me. Anyway, at another building behind them, we see Batman breaking into a nightclub. This is happening in the same night, so did Batman leave Lois alone for dinner? And this is going to turn into one of those Mrs. Doubtfire situations where Batman has to run back and forth between each place, like in different costumes, and then he messes up and he shows up to Lois's dinner dressed as Batman, and then he shows up to the nightclub dressed as Bruce Wayne. Oh, the hilarity. Inside the nightclub are some gangsters. Batman breaks through the skylight and tries to interrogate their leader, but one of them tries to shoot at Batman and a fight breaks out. Batman beats the crap out of everyone, and okay, I want to mention this because I'll forget if I don't. This nightclub has girls in cages dancing, like everywhere. They're like literally inside like giant bird cages dancing. Batman even uses one of these cages as a weapon, complete with the girl inside. So he grabs the cage and he swings it at a bunch of dudes like a wrecking ball. You wrecked me. I don't know how the girl didn't get hurt in that situation because she's literally bouncing around inside the cage, but whatever. The gangsters are blindly shooting all over the place, and the girls just stay in their cages. Are they dumb and don't leave, or are they legit locked in there? Like, is that even legal? So let's say there wasn't even, like, a superhero fight happening, and the place just caught fire. Would they have to die if the manager doesn't come in to unlock them? That just seems like a very, very serious health hazard. Anyway, Batman interrogates the gangster when Superman shows up.
Where's the Joker?
Who knows? Making ha-ha with Harley Quinn. I don't know, honest. I never went back after he muscled in. I don't want nothing to do with that clown.
That's enough. I think you got your answer.
flips Superman, throwing him across the room and breaking it through a table, and everyone is shocked. Like, all the gangsters, even Superman is sitting like, dude, what the hell just happened? Superman then shoulder tackles Batman into the wall and uses his X-ray vision to find out who Batman really is. Batman takes out a piece of kryptonite and tells him that Joker has 20 more pounds of it. Superman is like dying from this, and then Batman throws the piece of kryptonite into a champagne glass and leaves. And now Superman is fine. So does that mean champagne nullifies kryptonite, or is it like any liquid? It's just weird. Superman flies to his apartment, and he gets a call from Lois. She's calling to let him know that she's going to be going in late to work because she's going to go to breakfast with Bruce. During this conversation, Clark notices he has a bat tracer on his cape. He looks outside the window and sees Batman on the roof of another building spying on him and finding out his secret identity. Or he could have just looked at him. That's not, I mean, the glasses, you know that old joke. The next day, Bruce is at the Daily Planet to talk to Lois. She leaves for some reason, and Clark and Bruce talk about not being able to find the Joker. Alright, let me get this out of the way here. So there's supposed to be this whole love triangle between Lois, Bruce, and Clark. But honestly, it's pretty stupid. Like, we all know Lois is and always will be Superman's girl. I'm not listening to you, New 52. And besides, Bruce has known her for one day. And they're already talking marriage. And, you know, give me a break. I'm not even kidding. Bruce mentions here that he's been in town for 3 days, and Lois later on mentions about, like, something about getting married. So Lois and Bruce are on another date, and she tells Bruce his only competition flew away some time ago. You mean, like, 3 days ago? Also, Batman is Lois's rebound? Holy hell! My rebound was just me being depressed for, like, 3 months and growing a beard. But you get Batman and you're still all, like, mopey about it? Come on, now. Anyway, Joker shows up and interrupts the date.
My, you do live dangerously. Don't you realize you're moving in on Superman's main squeeze?
Joker knocks Lois unconscious with an electric joy buzzer. And then the worst ever, and I mean ever, worse than any stormtrooper could ever hope to be, these gangsters shoot at Bruce Wayne until he falls out of the building. They were about 2 feet away and missed every single shot. Joker tells them to make sure he's dead because some flying fool could have saved them in this town. They check and Bruce is on a scaffold, like the ones the window washers use. And they shoot, and again, miss every single shot. Bruce pulls a lever, and the scaffold, like, barrels down the building, but the wood around him gives way from all the gunfire, and it breaks, causing Bruce to fall. Bruce manages to hang on to a balcony, and then more gunfire that misses him. He's seriously just there, hanging there. He's not even moving. This time, though, it's Joker. And he's in a giant red blimp with his face on it with lights flashing all over it. How does Superman not see this? How does anyone in town not see this? This would be like if you robbed a bank and you made your getaway on the Goodyear blimp with the sign on the blimp saying, "We're the bank robbers." Come on. So Superman is now, okay, now Superman's there. I guess he rescued Bruce. He's talking to the cops along with Bruce Wayne, and Bruce tells Superman that Joker is just using Lois as bait and to expect the unexpected. That's like his catchphrase or something now when it comes to the Joker, expect the unexpected. He said it like 4 times already. We go to Joker, and Joker shatters the jade statue, as we now know it's made from kryptonite. And he says that half is for now and half is for later. He tells Lois that she has a front row seat for the story of the century, the death of Superman. Hey, remember when that death of Superman story really did nearly end the comic book industry? I've talked about it in detail in the past, so I'm not going to get into it again. But yeah, that was the thing. We're in an airplane hangar where Batman brings his new Batwing. And it sucks. I mean, I guess it doesn't suck, but it's just like a black rocket with wings. Like, what happened to the kick-ass design from the previous series that looked like the bat symbol and it looked cool, looked like the one from the movie? This one is just, it's a rocket. Superman is in Turpin's office, and God, I hate this character. He's like such a loser. Joker calls, and even he knows Turpin ain't crap, so he asks to speak with Superman. Joker tells Superman to look at his computer monitor to see where Lois is being held at, and then the screen flashes a blinding white light. Through the light, Superman sees a map and knows where Lois is at. And Turpin, or Turnip, as the Joker calls him, just sits there like an idiot. Now, maybe you think I'm being too hard on this character, but seriously, he's just like a dolt. Like, Superman even just pushes him out of the way. Turpin is all like, oh, what do you want, Joker? And Joker's like, I want to speak to the Blue Boy Scout. And then Superman just, like, shoves him out of the way. Like, look, big boys are talking now. Just please move. Superman shows up at LexCorp Labs wearing a lead hazmat suit, and he breaks through the ceiling. Joker confronts him, and we have our very first encounter between Joker and Superman.
More powerful than a locomotive, and just about as subtle.
Joker shows the kryptonite dragon to Superman, and Superman smiles like he's Macaulay Culkin or something, like he's a dumb little kid who thinks he outsmarted an adult. Joker gets all sad and then surrenders. So Superman just puts his hand on Joker's shoulder and makes him walk to where Lois is at. He doesn't take away the dragon or anything, he just walks with him. And then Joker says, oh yeah, I forgot one thing. The acid! He then squirts his acid from his flower that he carries on his, or the flower that he pins to his jacket. It shoots acid onto Superman's suit, and it melts away, causing the kryptonite to weaken him. Then Joker just starts beating the crap out of Superman. And I also love how Joker calls Superman Soupy. Like, the whole time he just calls him Soupy. Batman shows up to the building. Joker is torturing Superman with that electric joy buzzer when he's notified by Harley that Batman has shown up. Joker leaves Superman to die, as Batman is beating up all of Joker's thugs in the room right before it. Batman finds Superman, but then he gets locked into the room with Lois and Superman. Joker sets off laughing gas into the room. Batman looks around and he sees a drum of acid and he says it's going to take a week to eat through the wall. And Superman tells him to use the acid on the kryptonite. Batman pours the acid and it melts the kryptonite, letting Superman return to normal. Superman flies and rescues Lois while carrying Batman, and he breaks through the wall. So all three of them reach Joker, and Joker throws a bunch of marbles at Superman. So Superman's like really stupid here for some reason, and he thinks that these are regular marbles until they start exploding when they crash into something solid. The entire lab explodes, and Superman flies Lois and Batman to safety. Batman is then once again a total ass to Superman.
Thank you. I couldn't have saved Lois without your help. I'm aware of that.
Batman flies away in the Batwing, and Lois finally remembers Bruce Wayne, and she wonders if he's okay, and Superman tells her he's fine. The next day, and Lex Luthor is holding a press conference to ensure the lab explosion was non-nuclear and poses no threat to the city. As he walks away, Luthor mutters under his breath, what could have possessed me to trust that clown? And Clark Kent, being a reporter at the conference, hears this. We fade to Joker at his hideout with Harley Quinn, Harley's trying to cheer up Joker with cookies. All of a sudden, like, all this gunfire bursts into the room and hits everything but Joker and Harley. Lex and Mercy walk into the room, and I really like this scene a lot. Lex grabs Joker, and Joker calls Harley to attack. But then Lex calls Mercy, and Harley and Mercy have a fight. So we all know what Harley looks like. She's a little clown girl in red and black outfit. I haven't described Mercy. She's the short-haired white woman with the limo driver's outfit. Only that her tights are light brown, but they're like really light brown, like almost tan, like her skin. So she looks like she has no pants, but she does. But it's just weird because the whole time you think that she just doesn't like to wear pants. Anyway, Harley and Mercy are beating each other violently in the background as Joker and Lex sit down to have a civilized discussion.
Honestly, Lex, don't you think I feel bad enough already?
You maniac! You idiot! How dare you use one of my laboratories for you?
Harley?
Put him down, Baldy!
Mercy!
Here's that punch in the face!
Can't we discuss this like gentlemen?
Yeah. Ooh, listen to Little Miss Can't Take a Joke.
Thank you. Have a seat, please.
Banzai!
You owe me an explanation.
The lab was a perfect setup. How did I know old Bat Breath would show up?
Batman? He followed you to Metropolis?
Oh, right. Like it's my fault. Look, I've still got half the kryptonite. I can still finish the job. But if I have to cope with two men in tights, the price goes up.
Unacceptable. If you can't handle some mental case in a fright mask, our deal is off.
Percy, let's go.
Keep in mind, this is your last chance.
How you doing, slugger?
A-okay, Mr. J.
Lex leaves and Mercy goes behind them and she's all beat up. And then Harley is also there and she's all beat up. The next day, Clark goes to visit Lois and he finds Bruce Wayne there. He tells them both that Lex may be in cahoots with the Joker, but he can't prove it. So Bruce says, why don't I just ask him? It's night now, and Lex is in his room sleeping. Batman breaks in and interrogates Lex. Mercy sneaks up behind Batman, and he just straight out punches her in the face, knocking her the hell out. Batman tells Lex to think about it, about giving him the information on Joker's whereabouts, and then he leaves. Mercy wakes up, and Lex tells her to call the Joker, since it looks like they're gonna have to deal with Batman as well. Clark and Lois are at the Daily Planet, and Lois is requesting a transfer to the Gotham branch of the paper because her and Bruce are... It's pretty serious. I mean, there's nothing solid yet, but it... Come on. Dude, it's been like a week. You're already planning on getting married and moving out of Metropolis. Perry White, their boss, runs in and tells them a ship has been sending a distress call offshore and they need to investigate. Clark sneaks away and flies out to the ocean as Superman. In the city, we see Bruce working out, and it seems that this redesign has taken away his nipples. Bruce sees Joker's blimp with a message to meet him at Hobbs Bay. Alfred arrives and tells Bruce, when in Rome... Okay, dude, there's a giant blimp with a Joker's face flying right outside saying, meet me at Hobbs Bay. Why wouldn't this place be full of cops? Anyways, we see Batman flying through the sky in a rocket pack called the Jetwing. So he's kind of like the Rocketeer right now. Out at sea, and Superman arrives to the distress signal, but the ship's captain has no idea who sent out the message. Superman finds a small boat on the side of the ship emitting the signal. The small boat explodes, and the cruise ship has a huge hole blown on the side of it. We go back to Batman flying through the sky, and he arrives at Hobbs Bay to fight Joker.
Copy that, copy that. Suffering from propulsion envy, Batboy.
One of those spider robots that Lex was showing off to Bruce shows up and it starts shooting lasers at Batman. Out in the cruise ship, and Superman uses a lifeboat and his heat vision to weld the hole on the side of the ship. Back at the bay, and Batman is having a hard time fighting the spider robot. The robot destroys Batman's jetpack and Batman has to run away. So... Like, Batman is, like, jumping on top of cars through, like, the freeway or whatever. And this spider robot is running through the streets of Metropolis, just throwing cars, like, left and right. Cars with people driving them, I might add. So I'm guessing those people are dead, since the robot seems to be throwing them off a bridge. There's no Superman around catching them. Batman crashes through the window of the Daily Planet trying to find Clark, and he finds that Lois is there, and of course, she's the only one there. Batman grabs Lois and they both run away. I think Lois would have been safer if you just left her there, Batman. The robot was going after you, not her. So they run into the basement where the printing press is at. Batman fights the robot, but is cornered against the printing press. One of the press's rollers grabs Batman's capes and tears off his mask. Lois tosses a fire extinguisher at the robot, and she sees that Bruce Wayne is Batman. The robot goes after Lois, but Batman puts one of the robot's legs into the press, destroying it. And then Lois says this.
So when were you going to tell me? The honeymoon?
Dude, you've known each other for a week. Why the hell is, like, Bruce all willing to get married now? Oh, I want to marry Lois, and then I'm going to stop being Batman all of a sudden. No, or what? Is he going to decide to get married, never tell her he's Batman, and then just run off at night? Why is this a thing? The robot comes back to life, and he goes after Batman again. Suddenly, Superman bursts through the roof and destroys the robot with one hit. So, I really like how Joker, one of Batman's enemies, makes Superman totally useless and stupid. Like, even though Superman is, like, all-powerful, Joker just straight-out outsmarts him and tricks him. And Batman, who is, like, super smart and whatever, faces Lex Luthor, who is one of Superman's enemies, and he becomes useless because Luthor is just as smart as him and also just as rich, so he can make technology that can give Batman a run for his money. So I really like that parallel that kind of shows you like why Superman isn't just out saving the entire world and why Batman isn't doing the same. So I really like that. Luthor is informed that Batman has survived. Mercy mentions that this means the robot is in their possession and that they have all the evidence they need to pin everything on Luthor. Luthor asks for one more meeting with the clown, as he calls him. We're in Lois's apartment, and she's cleaning up Batman's wounds. She's angry because she has the hottest story in Batman Unmasked, and she can't do anything about it. And Batman's like, "You really do love me, don't you?" It's been a week! Come on, I'm sorry I harp on it so much, but to me it's just like the dumbest part of this movie. Like, the superhero stuff is good enough without this dumb love story that you knew from the very beginning how it would end. Like, seriously, was Batman gonna get married and then Lois was just gonna be his wife on his cartoon show? Lois leaves to get a first aid kit, and Superman shows up. Bruce mentions to Superman that it's ironic that Lois loves Bruce Wayne and Superman, but hates Batman and Clark Kent. And Superman replies by saying, "It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife." He doesn't say that. Bruce actually thanks Superman for saving him, and Superman suggests a partnership to go find Luthor. Lois walks in and sees that Bruce is in costume again. She is saddened by this, but is left talking to herself as Batman just leaves. Joker and Lex are at LexCorp Labs. Oh, that's a mouthful. Joker sees that Lex has a flying wing that is like super enormous, like the size of a city enormous. So it basically looks like a giant flying boomerang. Lex asks Joker if he brought the rest of the kryptonite, and Harley mentions that it's in her bag. She wants to know what the plan is, but Mercy pulls out a machine gun and says that the plan is payback. And then Joker laughs about this.
What's so funny?
Don't you get it, Harl? We're being set up to take the fall.
He can't do that.
Oh, no? How does this sound? When I heard that one of my robots had been commandeered to kill Batman, I personally came here to investigate, and much to my surprise, I found you two.
It'll be your word against Putin's. I mean, Mr. J's.
Somehow, Pooh, I don't think we're going to get the chance to say much.
You mean he's gonna kill us?
No, she is. I abhor violence.
Lex opens the bag and a bunch of springs fly out. Joker uses this distraction to knock the gun from Mercy's hand with a yo-yo and knocks her out as well. Harley grabs the gun and says that now they're never gonna get their $1 billion. Joker says that that's fine because he has his eye on a consolation prize. We cut to Harley spray painting the giant Lex wing. So she added stripes to it now, and it looks like a giant smile, I guess. Another part that I find dumb. Joker tells Lex that he will make him lose everything he's ever had, everything he's ever built. Harley gets inside the wing, and we see that Mercy is taped to the side of one of those spider robots. So damn, that is some strong tape. Superman and Batman arrive, and Superman tries to use his X-ray vision, but he can't. Lex has been using lead walls to block Superman from seeing inside his lab. Superman just punches the wall down on Batman's request. Inside, they find a bunch of the spider robots, and Joker turns them all on, so they begin to attack Batman and Superman. Joker takes off flying in the Lex wing. So in a really cool scene, Superman shows us that he can be a badass too. So he just completely destroys a bunch of these robots by just beating them up. Batman uses some electric batarangs to short circuit some of the other robots. But come on, Superman beating up robots with his hands is actually like much cooler this time around. This giant spider robot shows up and it has Mercy taped to it. Superman tries to punch it, but it spins its body around, so now Mercy is facing Superman every time he tries to punch, causing him to stop. Batman shoots a rope around the robot's head, hanging it up like a piñata, and then Superman destroys the robot. He rescues Mercy, and she tells Superman that Joker escaped in the Lex wing, and he said that he was going to destroy everything that Lex has ever built. I don't know if she would have been able to hear that comment, but anyway. Superman worries because Lex has built half of Metropolis. At that point, an enormous spider robot wearing Robocop's helmet, for some reason, shows up. Superman tells Batman to go after Joker. So Batman goes after Joker, and as soon as he does that, that giant robot turns its body around to show that it has the other half of the kryptonite taped to his body. Back in Metropolis, and Joker is destroying the city with missiles from the Lex wing. Batman arrives in the Batwing. So Joker sees the Batwing and he asks Lex Luthor for help.
Always Batman! What you got in the way of that air missiles, Lex?
You're asking me for help?
If I go down, you go down.
It's a red switch.
Which red? Ah, the heck with it.
Joker sees like a wall full of red switches, so he just starts like pressing them all. And he shoots a bunch of missiles at Batman. And they do hit his plane, causing him to crash. So Batman has claws suddenly grow from his gloves. But like Black Panther claws, like from each finger, not like Wolverine claws. Batman jumps out and lands on the Lex wing, using the claws to hang on. He places a timer bomb on a door and blows it up so he can get inside. Back to Superman, and he's getting the crap beat out of him by the robot. The robot grabs a metal wall, the one that Superman punched down, and squashes Superman. So Superman pulls the wall up, and he says, I gotta thank Luthor for these lead-lined walls. And he flies the robot through another wall into the side of a mountain, destroying the robot and the kryptonite. Back in the Lex wing, and Batman gets inside. He fights Joker as Harley tries to fly the plane. She's a total klutz, and presses a button which causes the plane to take a nosedive towards the city. So, before they're able to crash and destroy everybody, Superman shows up and saves them from crashing. Joker tries to use his marble bombs, but Batman kicks them out of his hands. They roll around and start blowing everything up. Superman gets inside, and Batman tells him to get Lex, and he will get Harley. So, they both get out of the plane, but Joker is still inside. Joker tries to put on a parachute, and the plane tilts, so he falls down. The marbles start rolling toward him and Joker just starts laughing as the Lex wing explodes and crashes into the ocean. And then weirdly, Batman has a joke about this.
At this point, he probably is.
It's the next day and we get a news report on what just happened.
Hello, this is Angela Chen. Though the search for Joker's body continues, the Coast Guard reports it is extremely unlikely that Gotham's most notorious criminal survived the crash. In related news, billionaire Lex Luthor was again rigorously grilled by the DA's office over his alleged connection to the Joker's rampage. His statements have been questioned both by local law officials and industrialist Bruce Wayne, who announced the immediate termination of his partnership with LexCorp. And on a lighter note, Joker accomplice Harley Quinn was returned to Arkham Asylum for another round of rehabilitation.
I want a lawyer! I want a doctor! I want a cheese sandwich!
Now that's funny. Ow!
Wait, how is that a lighter note? And on a lighter note, the sidekick of the person who is responsible for dozens, if not hundreds, of deaths is going to jail! Hardy har har! Whatever. Lois and Bruce are at the airport, and she says goodbye to him.
I still wish you'd change your mind about Gotham.
I adore you, Bruce. But now there's a lot about you I don't know, and I'm not sure I want to know.
I understand.
Take care of yourself.
You know why you probably don't know much about him? Because you met a week ago. Of course you don't know him. So she says goodbyes, and then Clark Kent shows up and says goodbye to Bruce.
Come to make sure I'm leaving?
Actually, I thought we worked pretty well together. Not that I want to make it a regular event.
She's all yours now, if you can handle that. But you'd better be good to her, 'cause I know where you live.
So Bruce gets on the plane and leaves back to Gotham and to his own cartoon show. The end. Now, it may have sounded like I'm a little whine baby, like I just like to whine, wah, wah, wah. But I really like this movie. It's really fun, and it shows both characters' weaknesses and strengths. I recommend this if you can find it. It's an old movie, but I'm sure it's like in some Walmart bin for no more than like $5. I think that's seriously what I bought it for. It's only an hour long, but I guarantee that you're going to have more fun watching this than a lot of these 3-hour downers or joke fest that they're calling superhero movies nowadays. Both Marvel and DC. They're both guilty of this. Alright, so as I mentioned earlier, it's Christmas time. So I will add my review of the TMNT Christmas special to this episode. Enjoy. Dude, this is the Christmas album that Mikey mentioned in that Michael Bay film. And, okay. We start off with the turtles decorating their tree while doing their most racist Jamaican impression.
Hey, kids, what do you think? Do we need more lights? We need more lights!
They're coming. Hey, kids, how about helping me sing my favorite Christmas song?
Take the holes with pepperoni.
Fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
Mustard, eggplant, and bologna.
Fa la 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 la, la 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 la.
Santa Claus will bring his reindeer.
Fa la 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 la.
In the sewer, how will they get here?
Fa la 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 la.
The turtles realize they forgot to buy Splinter a present, and they have to go out on Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. to get something for him.
Gotta get a gift, gotta get a gift, gotta get a gift, gotta get a gift.
Gotta get a gift for Splinter. I hate shopping in the winter. But do you get the Ninja Master who has everything? Oh, baby.
Gotta get a gift, 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 gotta get a gift for Splinter.
When the turtles get to the street, they meet a Santa Claus. And it's not the Santa Claus, it's like one of those Salvation Army Santa Clauses. Because in this universe, the turtles just walk around in the daylight, or nighttime as it is here, but in full public view. They don't even wear their trench coats and hats, so that could make them look like pervs or anything. And then Mikey just starts singing opera, because, sure, I guess Adam Sandler's opera guy, or opera man, or whatever the hell it's called, was popular at the time.
Oh, no. He's turning into that opera guy again.
Whose buildings reach to the sky. It's Christmas Eve, would believe you've got one more gift to buy.
The turtles finally make it to the store, and I think they say it's Macy's. They buy gifts for Splinter, which we'll find out what they are in a bit. But first, they have to wrap them.
It's
friends are here. Wrapping up presents, it happens once a year. I do my best when I'm wrapping my gifts. I take a lot of pride when I put the gift inside of the wrap.
Wrap, wrap, wrap.
Yeah, come on, say it again, y'all. The wrap, wrap,
wrap, wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobblehead Splinter returns, and he sings about all the presents he received.
My sons, children, please gather around. Let's rock and roll!
On the first day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me a pizza with pepperoni. On the second day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me two comic books and a pizza with pepperoni. On the third day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me three skateboards, two comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni.
Woo-hoo!
On the fourth day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me four manhole covers, three skateboards, two comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni. On the fifth day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me five video games. Four manhole covers, three skateboards, two comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni.
Oh, well, geez, you get the gist of it. Oh, come on, Cripes on Friday.
The 11th day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me 11 pairs of sneakers, 10 yellow yo-yos, 9 narrow neckties, 8 chopsticks, 7 silk kimonos, 6 frisbees, 5 video games. Four manhole covers, three skateboards, two comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni.
What, faster?
On the 12th day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me 12 April O'Neil autographs. I'm gonna catch up now. Five video games, made it. Four manhole covers, three skateboards, two comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni.
Can't believe you got through that one. It's only like the longest song ever written.
Turtles celebrate Christmas with a bunch of kids who are all allowed to spend Christmas in the sewers. Now, I will assume they are all abandoned and that's why they don't have any parents. Because nobody loves them. We get the last song.
And now it's time for one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs. And you kids can sing along. Grab a slice. Let's kick it.
So that was my review of We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. I made that episode back in June of this year. I believe it was episode 11 of Gotham Goes Hollywood when I did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Month. This was part of my live Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle live action fails episode. If you enjoyed that bit, you can go back and listen to the whole thing on Podomatic or iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review. That helps a lot. I mentioned on the Facebook page that I want to run a contest. I will do that. Somehow somebody voted that no, they didn't want free things. Somebody said they wanted free things, but only if they were guaranteed to win it. And then most of you did want me to run a contest and give away free things. I was planning to do that for Christmas, but I'm postponing it until the end of January. It will make sense when I explain the rules later on. So as soon as I have all the rules typed out and everything's clear, I will promote that contest more. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are the world's finest.
music in the air. The sleigh bells are ringing and the carolers are singing while the air raid sirens blare. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. The button has been pressed. The radio just let us know that this is not a test. Everywhere the atom bombs are dropping, it's the end of all humanity. No more time for last minute shopping. It's time to face your final destiny. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. There's panic in the crowd. We can dodge debris while we trim the tree underneath a mushroom cloud. Jack Frost.